Okay, well, once again, I do want to begin this morning by saying thank you to all of those who came to the congregational meeting last week. Actually, just in the last 2 weeks, I really appreciate just the different things that people had to say, the different things that people were sharing, and the things that that were on their hearts. And although occasionally we kind of strayed away from our topic and our purpose of the meeting, I think it was good just to hear what people had to say. And a number of people expressed kind of concerns that they had for SIBC, and I think that was helpful for us to hear. For example, a number of people said that they saw a need for greater unity among the Christians here at SIBC. People talked about maybe the need for deeper relationship among the SIBC church family. Some people talked about maybe the lack of spiritual growth, or that they were concerned about the lack of evangelism. Other people expressed a desire to grow in prayer as a church and in Bible, studying the Bible as a church. And again, I think it was really good for people to share their hearts. Thank you so much for doing that. And honestly, I agree with much of what people had to say in the last 2 weeks. And I think SIBC is doing some good things, right? I think there's many things that we do well, but I'll admit, and we all know, that maybe there are areas that we need to grow in, right? And you know what, friends? That's exactly why we are taking time to rethink church. That's what this whole series is about. That's right. Our series is called Rethinking Church, Exploring God's Heart for the Church. And so the whole purpose of this series is we want to address maybe some of those weaknesses, some of the needs, some of the areas of concern that we have about the church. You see, friends, I believe, and maybe you do too, but God's heart is that His church would be strong and healthy. His heart is that we would be a growing family of believers, right? Jesus Himself said that He would build His church. I don't think He wants to build a weak church. I think He wants the church to be strong. But friends, I think in order for us to be that strong, healthy, growing church, I think we need to do church God's way. Right? That's the Japanese little subtitle here, right? Kami no kokoro de, kami no kyokai e. Right? Rather than just follow the traditions of maybe our church that our church traditions, or maybe follow just our own thinking, the thinkings of man. Friends, we really do want to discover God's heart. We want to explore God's heart, God's plan, God's design for the church. And that's what we're doing in this series, right? For what? This is week 15, right? So for 14 times, we're studying the Bible. We're taking a look at what the Scripture says about who God wants us to be. Right, we want kami no kokoro de, kami no kyokai e. And friends, I believe that if we can embrace God's heart for the church, God's plan, God's purpose for the church, as revealed in Scripture, in the Bible, you know, I believe that some of those areas of weakness and concern, maybe the needs that we see we have, I think a lot of those will just begin to fall into place. Those will become areas of strength. Right, as we look to Jesus, as we listen to the Holy Spirit, as we follow the Word of God, I think we will become a strong, healthy, growing church family. Does anybody want that besides me? Yeah, we all do, right? Right. So that's why each week, as we've been talking about rethinking church and exploring these different topics, that's why I've been challenging all of us to consider how we can gather together as a church family, right? That's been the question, is how can we gather together in a way that really reflects the things that we've been studying in the Bible? How can we gather together as a church family in a way that genuinely reflects God's heart for the church and not just our own desires and our own ideas and our own wishes? Right? Rather than just continue doing worship like we've maybe always done it, like we're familiar with doing it each week, is there a new way for us to gather? A better way? A way that really does reflect God's heart as we see written in Scripture? And those are scary questions, aren't they? Because if you're like me, maybe you're like me, I don't like change. I like things that are comfortable and familiar. I like things to be the same. I like to know what, you know, is going to happen. And yet, I think here at SIBC, friends, we are in a season of change. Whether we like it or not, God is doing something, and things are going to change. You know, at our worship service on New Year's Day, and actually as I look around, there's Not many people were here, so I'm glad I'm sharing this again. On New Year's Day, I shared from Isaiah 43, verse 19, and I want to read this again. This is what God says to His people. Take a look at this. These are familiar words, right? But God says this. He says, I am about to do a brand new thing. See? I've already begun. Do you not see it? Let me read that again. This is New Living Translation. It says, I am about to do a brand new thing. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? Friends, God is doing a new thing. Right? That was true for the people, for the people of Israel back in the time of Isaiah. But I think it's also true for us today. Because if you think about it, God's always doing a new thing, right? I mean, God always wants us to be growing. He always wants us to be maturing. He always wants us to be moving forward in our walk and relationship with Him. He's always doing a new thing, right? But friends, I think specifically for the last couple of years, two, three, actually since we moved into this building, about 5 years, friends, I think God has been preparing us for a new thing. I think God has been preparing us for a new thing that He wants to do in us and through us. I think this current message series is a part of the new thing that God wants to do. You know, recently we've had some new people they've joined SIBC. Recently we've had some people who have left SIBC. But I think that's a part of the new thing that God is doing. Right? We're having these kind of financial difficulties these last few years. I think that's all a part of the new thing that God wants to do. Now we're considering our building situation. Shall we stay here? Do we need to leave and find somewhere else? I think that is a part of the new thing that God is doing. Friends, it's all related. It's all together. Friends, God is leading us, I believe, into a more genuine, more authentic expression of what it means to be the body of Christ. And for some of us, that's a new thing. For me, that's a very, very new thing. And so, the question that God poses here in Isaiah 43, I think is the same question God is asking us today. Friends, do you not see it? Can you see the new thing that God wants to do here at SIBC? Right, as we've been studying the Bible and as we've been rethinking church these last, 4 or 5 months, these last 14 messages, are you able maybe to get a little glimpse of a new way, a different way, a better way, a healthier way of gathering together as a church family? Can you see it? Can you see it? After the meeting last week, I began to realize that maybe some people are having a hard time seeing maybe the new thing. Right? Maybe some people are having a hard time imagining a new way to do church. As I challenge people, let's consider how we can do church together. Some people might be just, what does that mean? What do you mean a different way? We can't imagine anything besides what we've known. So for example, when I have said, how many times, not me, the Bible has said that we are all priests. And I've said that we're all priests, not just the pastor. We're all priests according to Scripture. And yet when you hear that, you might be thinking, what does that mean? What does that mean that I'm a priest? Do we all have to wear robes or something? What does that mean? Or when I have said a number of times, Scripture says that we are to teach one another. You think, teach one another? What does that mean? Does that mean that each week we take turns and stand on the stage and we, you know, teach for 20 minutes or 30 minutes or 40 minutes? Is that what that means? Right? Or when I say that as Christians we all have a ministry, or we all have a part to play, we all have a gift to give, we all make a contribution, maybe you're having a hard time thinking, what does that kind of worship service look like even? Because, you know, let's be honest, I mean, this is the kind of worship service most of us are familiar with, right? All the chairs are in rows, and we all, you know, sing songs together, and then about halfway through the service, someone gets up and gives a message, and that's kind of the way most of us are familiar with church. And I think maybe it's hard for some of us, myself included, to imagine anything different. And so today, instead of actually giving a message, there's really no message today, and I apologize for that. But instead of giving a message, I want to do something a little different this morning. Today, I want to try to paint a picture for you. I want to try to paint a picture of what a worship gathering might look like at SIBC if we really try to embrace the things we've been reading in God's Word. I want to try to paint a picture to show you just some of the other possible things that we could do when we gather together. And as you'll see, this picture I'm going to paint, it actually looks very different from how we usually have worship service. But I think you'll also agree, this picture that we paint, it might actually put into practice a lot of the things we've been studying during this series. So I want to try to paint a picture for you today. Is that okay? Okay, you have to say yes, right? But that's what I'm going to do today, and I hope this will be helpful. Now, let me say this at the very beginning. I need to be really, really clear. Okay, I am not saying, right? I'm not saying, can everyone say not? Not. So don't accuse me of saying this. I'm not saying that this picture I give, that we should be that kind of church. And I'm not saying that I want to become that kind of church. So what I'm doing is I'm painting this picture, I'm just trying to show you something else that's maybe as different as how we do right now, as different as possible that I can think of. Just to help maybe to get you out of the box of maybe how we always think about church. So I'm not saying that this is the kind of church I want to be. Rather, just as I share, I hope maybe God will just begin to give us ideas and maybe insight and wisdom about how we might be able to gather together in a way that might actually reflect His heart and His desire for us as a church family. All right? So I'm going to describe a new way of maybe possibly being the body of Christ. So, that whole part, I changed all of that last night, and I sent it to Michio, and she didn't get the email. So, you okay, Michio? Yeah, she's smiling. All right, that's good. Okay, so let's start this picture that I want to paint by describing the setting, right? In our church, and in most churches, right, the chairs are always set up in rows, right? They're set up in rows, and they're always facing the stage or facing the screen, right? Well, let's imagine that we're sitting in such a way where we can actually see people's faces, right? I mean, especially you in the back row. When you look forward, how many faces do you see? Just my face, right? Right? Mostly you just see the back of people's heads. But let's imagine we're sitting somehow where we can actually see each other's faces. If you were here on New Year's Day, we actually sat in a big circle like this. Well, it's kind of a small circle. There weren't a lot of people, right? But we sat like that. So maybe imagine something like this. Or better yet, don't imagine this. Imagine that we're sitting in someone's living room. Now, I don't know if we can find a living room big enough for all of us, but try to imagine we're sitting in someone's home, right? And if you think about it, well, the early Christians met in homes, right? And that, I think, is maybe a good place for a church to meet, because a home is where you do relationship, right? A building like Shenikin Building, this is where you go to do business. But a home is where you do relationships, right? A home is where families are. Well, we're a family. We're a church family. What if we met in a home? And then the home would be, it would have this warm atmosphere. It would be a lot more intimate, a lot more personal. No elevators you have to get in and walking down these cold halls, you know, to get to the church, right? It would be a warm place to meet. So imagine that we're all sitting in this big circle in this living room. Some people are sitting in chairs. Some people are sitting on nice sofas. Other people are sitting on the zabutons on the floor. But we're all sitting in this circle. We can all see each other's face. We can see each other. We can talk to each other. Okay, so we've all gathered. And it's time for us to start our time together. So, what do we do? Well, as we begin to meet, one of the things we do is we will worship. We will take time to worship God. Now, how do most churches worship God? Through singing, right? Right? Usually, there are musical instruments, like guitar, piano, drums, Some churches will have organs, right? But usually there's musical instruments. Usually the words to the songs have been printed out for someone to read, either in a songbook, a hymnal, a sambika, maybe in a bulletin, the words on a sheet. Maybe we put the words on a screen. But there's the words so everyone knows exactly what songs we're singing, right? Right? Then usually the songs are chosen usually by one person before the service even begins, right? The worship leader chooses all the songs, prepares all the songs, knows exactly what they're going to sing from beginning to the end of the service. And then everyone sings the same song at the same time, right? Right? And that's, for many Christians, that's their idea of worship. We call that worship. Now friends, personally, I like to worship God in that way. I like gathering together with Christians and singing songs together. I love playing the guitar and helping people to sing songs together. So as we meet in our living room and we're sitting in that circle, one of the things that we'll do is we'll sing songs to Jesus. We might have instruments, we might not, but we'll take time to sing and we'll worship God with song. But you know what, friends? That's not the only way to worship God, isn't it? Is it? There's many, many ways to worship God. Right? We don't have to use singing to worship God. We can worship God just with talking, right? We're not singing songs, we're not playing instruments, but it's just we're expressing with words just our praise and our worship to God. And instead of everyone saying the same words at the same time, it's maybe each of us just from our own heart with our own words expressing praise to God. We could worship God through reading Scripture. Right, as we take time to begin to worship, maybe someone in the group will want to read from the Psalms. Psalms are wonderful expressions of praise, and they'll read from the Psalms, and through Scripture we can worship. You know, you can worship God through being still before Him, right? Just being quiet before God. That's another way to worship God, to draw near to Him, to show your love to Him. Right? We can worship God through giving thanks. We can worship God through prayer. We can worship God through just surrendering our lives to Him and giving up our hearts to Him. Right? And a lot of those ways of worship have nothing to do with music. You don't need a guitar to offer up your heart to Jesus, right? And so friends, there's lots of ways to worship God. So as we gather together in this living room as a church family, yeah, we'll have many different ways that we can worship God. Sometimes we'll use instruments. Sometimes we won't. Sometimes we'll do one thing and sometimes we'll do another. But the cool thing is every time it would be different. You know, when you come here each week, if you're a regular attender here, you know exactly what's going to happen in the service, don't you? Because every week it's the same, right? We sing three songs, occasionally four at the beginning. Then we have announcements and then we have message. And then we sing two or three songs, and we always tell you to be quiet and take time to talk to Jesus and have communion if you want. And then at the end, we have one more closing song. And that's good. I mean, people like that, I think. But it's the same each time. But as we gather together for worship, maybe each time it wouldn't be the same. Because instead of one person planning out the entire time of worship, as a church family, we would all be looking to Jesus. And we'd all be listening to the Holy Spirit. And say, Jesus, how do you want us to worship you today? And someone might say, let's sing a song, so we sing a song. And someone else will begin to give prayers of thanks, and other people will join in, we'll all begin to give prayers of thanks. And then someone else will say, let's just take time to be still before the Lord, and then we just take time to be quiet. And there is everyone participating, everyone leading us in worship. And every week it would be different. Every week it would be fresh. Every week it would be new, because every week Jesus would be leading us. And sometimes there'd be lots of singing and sometimes no singing. Sometimes there would be 10 minutes of worship. Sometimes 30 minutes of worship. It's whatever was on Jesus' heart that day. So friends, as I describe that, that's a very different way to do worship, isn't it? But friends, I think that would be a very meaningful way to worship God. And the reason why is, rather than only worship through singing, which is someone else telling you what songs, what words to use to sing to Jesus, there would be a lot of opportunity for us to use our own hearts and our own words to express worship to God. And I think that would be more meaningful for us and more meaningful for God. So as part of our Rethinking Church series, we're actually going to talk more about worship in the next couple of weeks. And But honestly, I've never worshipped with a group of people like I just described. I've never done that. That's a brand new way, a very different way of doing worship for me. And yet, I really think that when we only worship God through song, I think we're missing out on so many wonderful ways that we could possibly worship. And so maybe this is one of the things God wants us to rethink at SIBC. Maybe He wants us to rethink worship. Right? Worship isn't just song. Worship is a time to hunger after God. Worship is a time to seek His presence. Worship is a time to draw near to Him and to enjoy fellowship with Him. And so that's what we would do as we gather together in our living room to worship God. Does that kind of make sense? Does that kind of give you a little bit of a different idea of maybe how we could worship? Now, I'm not saying we have to do that or we want to do that or we should do that. I'm just saying there's more than just our current way of doing it. All right? Okay, so one thing we would do is we would worship. We're in our living room. We take time to worship. And then we would want to do teaching. Right? It's important when we gather together to have teaching. The Bible says that God has given some people to be teachers. God has given some people the gift of teaching. They're supposed to teach. Their job is to help build up the body of Christ, but by teaching the Word of God. So we want to have teaching. That's an important part of our time together. But the question is, how do we do that teaching time? What does the teaching time look like? You know, in most churches, and most worship services, the teaching time is done kind of lecture style, right? You know what I mean by lecture style? Just one person talks for 30 minutes or 40 minutes. They just talk, and then everyone else just listens, right? Or maybe you take notes, right? But it's just, I talk and you don't, right? And that's kind of the lecture style. And that's the way it is in most churches, right? Almost, I've never been to a church where it's been different. It's one person talking, everyone listening. Sermons are usually monologue. It's one person talking, everyone else is listening. Now, we actually see examples of that in the Bible. So I think that's an okay way to teach. We see examples. Jesus seemed to teach that way from time to time. Paul taught that way, lecture style, from what we can see. And personally, I don't know if I'm a good teacher or not, but I sure enjoy teaching. I feel really comfortable being up here each week. I mean, I could be having a really bad week, and when the message time starts, I relax, and I enjoy this. This style of teaching suits me. However, and it pains me to say this because I like doing this, I've recently begun to see that this style of teaching, this kind of this monologue, one way I talk, you listen, maybe there are some weaknesses to this way of teaching. Right? While some people might really like listening to sermons week after week, I think that sometimes this style of teaching actually maybe can hinder spiritual growth more than it actually helps spiritual growth. Right? This style of teaching might actually hinder growth more than it will hurt growth, or more than it will help growth. And let me tell you why. Friends, sermons are a great way to pass along information. But they're not very effective for producing transformation. You know what I'm saying? Right? We might hear a good sermon and we might learn something new, something helpful about God or about the Bible or about the Christian life. And we might learn something new, but does the sermon actually change the way we live? Right? A good sermon might stir up our thinking and cause us to think things, but does it actually transform our hearts? And I've been in churches where you see people and they come every single Sunday for 20, 30, 40 years, and yet they're still very immature Christians. They've heard hundreds of sermons, but had very little change in their lives. So just this kind of one-way kind of teaching, I think there's value, but does it really produce change? Now, of course, part of it is on the side of the listener, right? And their heart and their willingness to embrace things. But here's the deal. I think this style of teaching, it does two things. Well, it does one thing. I think it causes people to become dependent upon the preacher, upon the teacher. Right? Because it's really easy in this style of teaching just to become, well, for the listeners to become passive listeners. Because that's all that's required of you. Right? As you're sitting here right now, there's nothing required of you. You can just sit there and listen. If you can sleep with your eyes open, you could do that, and nobody would know and nobody would care because your job is just to listen while I talk. And it's really easy for us just to kind of come to church and we just kind of sit and we just kind of listen. And never really allow the things that we hear to touch our hearts and change our lives. And in this way, I think it's easy for us to become dependent upon the pastor or the teacher. You see, instead of learning to feed ourselves with God's Word, right? Instead of reading it and studying it by ourselves each week, it's easy just to come to church on Sunday and just let the pastor kind of drop spiritual food in our mouths. Have you seen those birds, you know, the baby birds, and they're waiting for their mother to put food in their mouth? They're just like, and the mother bird puts food in the mouth. That's kind of, it's easy to become that way. Right? We don't take time to learn and grow and read this book for ourselves. We just show up on Sunday and hope the pastor puts something in our mouth. Ah, it's our spiritual food. Or instead of actually taking time to learn how to listen to Jesus, it's really easy just to come to church and listen to the pastor. Oh, I don't need to listen to Jesus for myself. I go to church every Sunday. The pastor tells me stuff. I follow the pastor. You see, and so if this style of teaching is the only way we do teaching, it might actually at times prevent spiritual growth. Now, of course, every person's different. And some people, they can grow in this context. But it's very easy, I think, sometimes for us to become just passive listeners. Week after week, we hear a message, but nothing ever changes. And so, get back to the picture we're painting. As we gather together as a church family, we're sitting in this living room, we just worship God, we want to have teaching, but we want to do it in a way where we're active. We want to do it in a way where we're actually going to learn, where we're going to grow, where the things we study are going to transform our hearts and touch our lives, where we're not just going to learn, but we're actually going to grow, where we're not just getting information, but we're longing for transformation. So when we do our teaching in this group, it's going to be a little different than how we're doing it right now. Right? So as we gather, we'll still maybe have a message. The teachers need to teach. God gave teachers so they can teach. But maybe rather than teach for 30 minutes, 40 minutes, just on and on and on and on, maybe they teach for 15 minutes, 20 minutes. And maybe it's not always the same person. Maybe it's different people, right, who have that gift of teaching. They take turns doing it. And then after they teach or while they're teaching, there's opportunity for the group to interact with what's being said. So instead of a one-way monologue, it's a two-way dialogue. And there's opportunity for questions and answers and discussion. And everyone will have a chance to kind of share what the message, what the scriptures are saying to them. They'll have an opportunity to share and to talk. And part of our discussion will be, how can we apply these things to our lives? And we'll talk about that. And as we leave our meeting, we'll all know exactly how we're going to implement and apply the things that we've learned to our lives. Friends, and that's a very different way of doing teaching. And yet, I think it would make the teaching very real down here. We wouldn't just be learning information. There would be change and transformation happening in our lives. So that's one way that we could do teaching. But actually, there's another way. Right? Maybe we can allow Jesus to be our teacher. I'm currently reading a book by a Japanese man. His name is Mitsuo Fukuda. Does anyone know the name, Mitsuo Fukuda? He's written like five... I think you introduced me. I think he has maybe five books or so out in Japanese. And right now I'm reading one. It's excellent. It's in English. I'm going to try to get a whole bunch of his English and Japanese books to hand out here at SIBC. But he's over in Kobe or somewhere in Hyogo Prefecture way. But when he gathers together with his church family, they don't do the message. They have what they call interactive Bible study, where they study the Bible together. And it's kind of similar to what we've done on a couple of occasions. When they gather together, they choose one passage and they all read those verses together. And then they take some time just to be still and quiet before the Lord. And they ask the Lord just to teach them or to show them something from that verse that God wants to say to them. And then they all come back together in the big group and they just begin to share with each other. Oh, God showed me this, or God taught me this, or this is what God spoke to me about. And as they take time to share and to talk, everyone has an opportunity to share. And in doing so, everyone is able to teach everyone else what God has shared to them. And at the same time, as you listen to other people, you're also learning and you're listening. So they take time to study Scripture in that way, and then at the end, they always leave with a plan of how they're going to apply the things to their lives. You see, friends, and in this way, it's not just one person who listens to Jesus. It's not just one person who studies the Bible. It's not just one person who teaches. It's everyone studying the Bible, everyone listening to Jesus, everyone having opportunity to teach, everyone participates, everyone learns, everyone applies, everyone grows. And that's the way teaching should be. So, I just gave kind of two different ways of maybe doing teaching. But friends, in both of these examples, you see, there's no passive listeners. In both of these ways, you're a part of the learning process. There's times to talk and to discuss and to share with one another. We're not passive listeners. We're active learners. And the teaching time is a time for everyone to be involved. And that's a very different way, maybe, of thinking about teaching in the church. And yet, I think that is a way that will help us all to grow. Maybe God wants us to rethink how we do teaching. Okay, well, those are the two longest ones. But let's continue on, because there's a couple of more things that we will do when we gather together. Okay, the third one is this. Part of our time together will be communion. Right? We'll take communion together. Now, as you know, here at SIBC, every Sunday we make communion available, right? And for us, this is one of the ways that we seek Jesus and draw near to Jesus. And that's why we include communion as part of our prayer and worship time after the message. We see prayer and worship and communion and seeking God, drawing near to God. It's all just part of we don't separate them. It's all part of the same thing. Communion is one way that we worship and seek and draw near to Jesus. And so we do that every week. And the way we do it is we do this individually, don't we? Actually, we don't do it because I never get to take communion. So you do this individually, right? You get to go over there and you take the communion and you usually do it by yourself. Friends, and I think it's good to have that individual time to remember Jesus through the bread and the juice. But as we're sitting in our circle, right, in our gathering in this home, wouldn't it be great if we can remember Jesus together? Rather than each individual person doing it, what if we did it together? As we're sitting in a circle, maybe we could take time to pray together. We could even confess our sins to each other, which Scripture tells us to do and no one wants to do. But what if we did that? And then what if we actually served one another? We served the bread to one another. We served the juice to one another. Friends, in that way, communion would not just be a time to fellowship with God. It would be a time to fellowship with one another. Communion would not just be a time to build relationship with God, but it would be an opportunity to build relationship with one another. We would be serving one another. We would be doing communion together. Okay. As we gather together, we would also take time for prayer. For prayer. Now, during our worship service at SIBC, we pray a lot, don't we? We pray at the beginning of the message, or beginning of the service, usually at the end of the worship. We pray before the message. We pray after the message. We pray at the end of the service, right? A lot of praying, but mostly it's the people on the stage, right, who are praying on behalf of everyone else, right? But then also after the message, we encourage you to take time for personal prayer, don't we? We encourage you to take time to come near to Jesus and draw near to Jesus and talk to Jesus for yourself. And I think that kind of prayer is very good. It's a necessary part of the Christian life, taking time just to talk to God. But honestly, personal time with God is something we could do when we're by ourselves, right? Right? I mean, we can do that anytime. But when we're gathering together as a church family, we have a wonderful opportunity to not just pray, but to pray with each other and to pray for each other. I mean, we can't do that when we're by ourselves, right? So when we gather here, when we gather in our living room, we have our small group, we just spent time in worship and teaching, and we want to pray together. Right? So when we hear that someone has a problem or a concern or a burden, we can take time in our meetings and we actually pray for them right there. And when we hear that someone needs healing, maybe physical healing or spiritual healing or emotional healing, right? We can lay hands on them and we can pray for them right there. For those people who have maybe the gift of prophecy or the word of knowledge, that's a wonderful time for them to use that gift to serve and to build up the church family. Friends, and praying for each other and with one another, I tell you, that's a great way for us to minister to one another. How many times in this series have I said, we all have a responsibility to minister to one another? And you're thinking, but how do I do that? You can do that by prayer. Praying with one another, praying for one another. And everyone can do that. Everyone can pray. You think, no, I can't pray. You can pray. You're just afraid to do it. But we can do it. And as we pray for one another, it's a great opportunity to serve one another, to build up one another, to bless one another, to encourage one another. And friends, that's kind of a different way of doing prayer. I mean, this isn't something we've done at SIBC very much. I think we don't pray with each other and for each other enough. But friends, I believe that if we did this each week, when we actually took that time to serve one another in this way, friends, I believe as a church family, we would experience the love of God and the power of God in our presence, in our lives, in ways that, well, we don't now. I think there is something when we get together for prayer, it will change us. We would grow. Right? So, to me, that's exciting. I look forward to the day when we could spend more time praying with and for each other. So maybe we can rethink prayer here at SIBC. And then finally, this is the last one. Finally, we also want to have time for fellowship. Fellowship. Now, some of you aren't going to believe this, but when Chris and I first came to SIBC 14, 15 years ago, SIBC was often criticized because we were too much of a fellowship church. Right? We were strong in fellowship, but we weren't strong in many other things. But fellowship, we were really strong in. Right? Well, somewhere in the last 15 years, that has changed a bit, hasn't it? And for us now, fellowship, for some reason, it's a bit of a struggle. I'm not sure why, but just the last 2 weeks, we've heard that people feel disconnected with each other. There's just kind of, there's something not happening. And so about 2 years ago, no, maybe 3 years ago, we started this Fellowship Sunday. And the purpose was, once a month, we're going to get together. We're going to have a meal together. It's going to be a time to talk and to share. The original plan was every month we would do something different. We'd play games together, or we worship together, or we pray together, or we do some other activity that gets us kind of interacting with one another. But for whatever reason, that time hasn't really gone like we hoped it would. I think it doesn't seem to be building community and relationships the way we want it to. But fellowship is so important. I think we all see the need for fellowship. So imagine if, you know, we're in our group there, sitting in a circle in the living room of this house. We have worship and teaching and communion and prayer and fellowship. Imagine if every time we got together, we shared a meal together. We ate together. Right, if you look at Acts chapter 2, we see that the early Christians, they met together, they ate together in each other's homes. So imagine if every week we ate together. And I'm not talking about ordering a bento or everyone bringing their own lunch. I'm talking about cooking a meal together. And maybe, you know, each week we could have three or four people and they would prepare the meal for everyone else. Curry rice or stew or I don't know what else, spaghetti or something, right? And then we would sit there in our living room, which is where families sit, right? We'd sit in our living room and we'd have our meal together. And it would be a time to share and to fellowship, but it's also a time to serve one another because some people would be cooking and preparing the meal, and each week it would be someone different, and different people would help clean up. We'd be working together and there would be fellowship. And then maybe, this would be kind of cool, maybe we can even make communion a part of our meal together. So before we actually begin to eat our curry rice, we gather together and we remember Jesus through the breaking of bread and through the sharing of the juice. And so it's not just fellowship with one another. It's a time to fellowship with Jesus and remember Jesus. Doesn't that sound kind of good? I think we all need fellowship. I think we all need to connect with Jesus, but we need to also connect with one another. Okay. Well, that took a long time. But friends, that's kind of maybe another way, another picture, an idea of how we can gather together. And the thing I just described, that looks pretty different from what we normally do here on Sunday morning, right? Now, I'm not saying this is bad. I'm not saying that's good. I share that with you maybe just to give you some ideas of something different. Right? Now you might think, but Michael, that's not so different. Because if you look at this, worship, teaching, communion, prayer, fellowship, those are the things we do each week. Every week we worship and teach and have communion and prayer and fellowship. It might not look different, but friends, it's very different. What I just described for you is very different from what we currently do. And what's the biggest difference? The gathering I just described, right, is very, very, what's the word, participatory, right? Everyone participates. In the gathering I just described, everyone, there are no spectators, everyone is involved, right? And I think that's the big difference between the churches that we see today and the church we see in New Testament. In the New Testament, when Christians gathered together, everyone had a part. Everyone had a ministry. Everyone was active. Everyone did something. And I think that's what we see here, right? Our worship wouldn't just be one or two people leading and everyone else just following as we all sing the same songs. We would all be active in worshiping God ourselves and in leading others in worship. The teaching would be something we all do as we talk and share and discuss and help each other to understand God's Word. Communion is something we do not just by ourselves when we go to the table, but we do it together as a church family. Prayer is something we do together. We pray for each other, with one another. Fellowship we do together. It's participatory. It's everyone involved. Friends, and I believe that is still God's heart for today. It's what we see here. I think it's still God's heart today. Church is not a spectator activity. Friends, God wants everyone to be involved in church gatherings. In fact, I think kids 8, 9, 10 years old could participate in that kind of gathering. They could easily be a part of these things that we do. So friends, in this kind of church that this gathering I described, lots of opportunities for everyone to use their gifts and their talents and their skills. Everyone could serve and build up one another. Everyone would make a contribution to the time that we spend together. Instead of just three or four people who kind of, you know, plan the whole worship service, every person would have responsibility for helping to lead our time together. We would all be priests. We would all have a ministry. We would all look to Jesus as our head. We would all follow the Holy Spirit as our guide. And as a result, we would all grow. We would all grow. Right? We would grow spiritually. I think the church would grow. You know, right now, how do new people come to SIBC? Most new people come to SIBC because they see our homepage. I think it should be people are coming to SIBC because we invite our friends and our family and our co-workers. The fact that we don't makes me think maybe we're embarrassed to bring people here. Maybe this isn't meeting our need, so why would it meet their need? But friends, I believe if we begin to meet in a participatory kind of group where everyone's serving, everyone's giving, everyone's being built up, man, I think our group would grow faster than we can imagine. Because we would want our friends to be a part of that. We would want to share what we have found with our family members and our co-workers. And I think the group would grow and grow, and we'd have to start finding many houses to meet in. Friends, I think we would grow in so many ways. Because we would be doing it not our way, but I think we'd be doing it according to God's heart. Friends, I believe that this is God's heart for the church. This is the kind of church God wants us to be. Everyone's active. Everyone's involved. Everyone has a part. Everyone grows. And I think when we embrace that, a lot of the weaknesses and the concerns and the needs we see here at SIBC, I think they'll disappear because we'll be doing church God's way. So, God is doing a new thing. The question is, can you see it? Can you perceive it? Maybe now I hope you can see it a little better, right? Right? And as we continue on in this series, maybe that'll become more and more clear to us. But again, friends, please hear me this. I'm not saying that we should do what I just described. Right? That's not my choice to make or our choice to make. That's Jesus' choice to make. As we seek Jesus, say, Jesus, how do you want us to gather? I think He will lead us. And we might stay pretty much the same. We might become like what I shared. Maybe something in between. Maybe something completely different. I don't know. But the thing is, we want to look to Jesus and follow Jesus and ask Him to lead us and guide us. Let me close by saying this. The title of the message is A New Thing. Friends, the kind of gathering I just talked about and the things we've been studying in this series, they might seem new to us because it's different from how we usually gather together. But friends, they're not new at all, are they? I think these are the things that have been on God's heart. This has been God's heart and God's plan for the church for a long, long time because He wrote them down a long, long time ago. And somewhere over the last 2,000 years, I think the church has gotten a little distracted. Maybe we've lost our way a little bit, but I think God, by His grace, wants to bring us back to His heart for the church. And friends, that's our desire, right? We want to know and discover God's heart for SIBC.